Good morning. Good morning. It is good to be back with you. Good to see that the semester has gotten started safely. Thank you for your prayers for myself and my family. We had a tough week 2 weeks ago. And so it is good to stand before you able to proclaim the word of the Lord. Amen.
God's word comes from Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Hear the word of the Lord. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
The word of God for you, the people of God, thanks be to God. Today, Geneva, I want to speak to you on the third commandment. But if I could tag it with another title, I would simply entitle it this: Honoring the Name of the Lord. Honoring the Name of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, and that you would give this faculty and student body ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and that you would give us all strength to live your word when we leave this place. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Honoring the name of the Lord. Geneva, a group of women were asked why they did or did not take their husband's last name. One woman said, "I did not take my husband's last name because he did not study to get the PhD I did." Another woman said, "I didn't mind taking my husband's last name because I like the idea of having the same last name as my children. So I made my middle name, my maiden name, so that my kids wouldn't have to live with a ridiculously long hyphenation." A third woman was asked why she did or did not take her husband's name. And she said, "I took my husband's last name because we are one and in it together through thick and thin. We are Mr. and Mrs. Grimm." Brothers and sisters, Shakespeare penned these words: "What's in a name? That which we call a rose under any other name would smell just as sweet." So the question I want to lift today is this: are names just an arbitrary designation imposed on us by those in society who seek to control our experience of reality, or do names matter? Well, in today's text, friends, it seems that God cares about his name. In fact, names seem to matter throughout the biblical corpus a lot. Abram's name was changed to Abraham because he was the father of nations. One woman in scripture had such a difficult time in childbearing that she named her baby Jabez, which means he makes sorrow. God cares about names. He changed Jacob's name to Israel, and Paul's to Saul, and Simon's to Peter, and each of these name changes marked a transition in the lives of these men as they begin to live life for God. Names in scripture often seem to denote the character of a person and the mission they are to pursue in fulfillment of divine purpose. I want to submit to you today that names matter to God. And in today's text, God clarifies for his people that he cares about not only what he calls them, but what they call him. For the name of God speaks to God's character, his character as our creator and loving savior throughout salvation history and ultimately in the saving life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus has been seated at the right hand of God and given a name that is above every name. The name of God clarifies for his people, the one who has established in our text the covenant of care and commitment for us as his people. It is for this reason, as Moses in today's text returns to deliver the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt, that he asks God, "God, what is your name? So I can tell the people who it is that sent me." The name of God identifies the purity. The name of God identifies the purity, the highly precious and powerful personal God who has come near to his people in Exodus to bring salvation. For this reason, God, as he establishes the covenantal terms that he will enter into relationship with his people in Exodus 20, by which he will relate to his people in Exodus 20, tells his people, "Don't take my name in vain. Don't take my name lightly as you live your lives with me." God's people are to honor his name. God's name is attached to his people as a husband's name is to his precious wife and children. God's people have not taken the name of some false god. Therefore, they will not relate to the true God or live for God in ways that other people they will encounter relate to false gods and serve them. Just as Jesus teaches the disciples to pray in his model prayer in the Gospels, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." So God, in the covenant with Moses as he leads them out of Egypt into the land of promise, teaches the children of Israel in today's text how they are to honor the name of God as they live for him in the land that he promised them as representatives for him to the rest of humanity. The relevant question I want to ponder in the rest of our time together is this: what does it mean not to take the name of the Lord in vain? First thing I believe our text teaches us is this: it means to honor the name of the Lord as pure. Honor the name of the Lord as pure and holy. And that which has the most value in our lives. Our God is like any other God, amen? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God in the commandments was teaching the people a better way to live in the land that he promised them, and that would lead them to the Savior who would bring eternal peace with God in the world to come. Israel would run into problems in the promised land when they would try to live like other people. They would serve other gods, bringing sin into the covenant fellowship of God with his people. God did not want his children to live like some other family. When this happened, God would bring judges and prophets to warn the people of their sin and call them to return to covenant faithfulness as they honored the name of God, the Lord, in word and deed. Let the campus say word and deed. One thing we'll find throughout the rest of our time together is this, is that it's not simply just our words about God that matters, but we honor the name of the Lord holistically in how we speak and how we live. This is why the deception of the serpent was so devious in the garden. Did God really say? Satan suggested that God could be a liar and that God did not provide the best way for his humanity to live. Is there anyone here who can look at their life and say that the ways of the Lord are just better? God's wisdom is pure. God's ethics are pure. God's way of relating is pure. God's definition of sexuality is pure. God's word is pure. God's love is pure. God's gospel is pure. And there is not a better way to live in the world than in honor to God, who in purity gave his son to live to fulfill the right requirements of God in our life. Is there any sinners in the room? If there's any sinners in the room who've been saved by the grace of God, you know from the bottom of your heart, from the inside out, that God's way of living life is just better than every other way that you tried. God's way is pure and God's way is better. But the reality is, friends, that we have slandered the name of God and the covenant of God and dishonored the presence of God in impurity in our sin. But Jesus, in perfect purity, honored the name of God in our place. And we should honor the purity of God in the way that we live our lives, in word and in deed, because of all that he has done for us in Jesus Christ. I remind you of the words of Paul. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, now to present your lives as a living sacrifice, holy to God, which is your reasonable service for a God who in purity brought you near to him, even in your sin. What does it mean to not take the name of the Lord in vain? It means to honor the name of the Lord as pure, but it also means to honor the name of the Lord as precious. A child's name is precious to her parents. After the mother has given birth, they bestow upon the baby the name they have thought and prayed over. The trial and pain of birth has produced a gift from God that is precious, and the name should be a bestowal of dignity and honor on the child that is talked about, and in the way that we talk to the child and treat the child as precious to their parents. This is why the golden calf that Israel created while Moses was on Mount Sinai communing with God was such a tragic occasion. God was not being treated as precious to his people while he was speaking to the leader about his people. Israel ceased to treat the name of the Lord as precious. The God of their fathers returned to them. He came back to them. He remembered them. He saw them in all that they were going through, and he came to rescue them. God returned to them after hearing their prayers and saved Israel from bondage. His name should have been treated as precious to them. But while Moses was talking to the living God on the mountain, Israel was shrinking the name of the Lord of their salvation into a golden calf, a golden cow. Who God was and what God did was not precious to them in that moment, but they were seeking to divine God in ways that were convenient for them. How are you and I, friends, shrinking God down to a manageable size for our comfortability and influenced by our perverted thinking? Friends, our God is precious in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of our lives from sin and from wrath, and who is the giver of eternal life. On the cross, Jesus died in our place, and that should be precious to us. He rescued us from darkness. He renewed our minds. He is restoring our hope for this life and for the life to come. We cannot make it without the Lord. Amen? The name of Jesus, therefore, should be precious to us. I can't set him aside to Netflix and chill. I can't set him aside to be acceptable to a group that would cause me to compromise my relationship with him. He's too precious to me. The name of the Lord should be precious to us, handled with care. The saints in my church would sing of his name in this way. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing. It's worth it. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. He was precious to them, the sweetest name I know. Is that where Christ is in your heart and mind today? Is he precious to you because he was your substitute that brought you back into peace with God when you were deserving of nothing more than the wrath and anger of God? How do we not take the name of the Lord, our God, in vain? We must honor the name of the Lord as pure. We must honor the name of the Lord as precious. But we must also honor the name of the Lord as all-powerful. Let the church say power. There's power in the name of Jesus. God's name is greater and more able than any other false deity or any human entity that the people of Israel will encounter in Egypt or in the land of Canaan. So God teaches his people not to use his name in word or in deed in slanderous ways that do not acknowledge him as the one who has established relationship with his people based upon his mighty acts, which he accomplished for Israel by freeing them from the most powerful man in the world and the most powerful nation state in the world, Egypt. And God established them before a host of idol worshipers in the land he promised them, the land of Canaan. Therefore, in Exodus, because God is all powerful, Israel is to talk and walk in relationship with God in a way that honors his power in their lives. Those who don't will have to deal with this powerful God's judgment in their lives when they slander him in word and deed. He will not count them as innocent. They will come under God's judgment who take the name of the Lord in vain. Just think with me then in the story of Exodus about Moses and the children of Israel who died in the wilderness and did not enter the land of promise because they doubted the power of God. They forfeited what God had prepared for them because in tough times they did not hold his name as pure and precious and all-powerful. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapters 4 and 6, it narrates the story of when the Philistines who served the god Dagon were able to steal the Ark of God, which represented the presence of God with his people, Israel. I'd like to suggest, just as the Ark of God represented the presence of God in this text, so in 1 Samuel 4 through 6, so the name of God represents the presence and power of God in our lives all the time. The Philistines were able in 1 Samuel 4 through 6 to capture the ark because Israel had, and especially the priests, were not honoring the name of God. So as a sign that the Philistines conquered Israel and their God, they brought the ark of the covenant and stored it in the temple of their god, Dagon, to say that Dagon has conquered the God of Israel. But each morning, when the Philistines would awake, they would find that Dagon's idol was cast onto the ground and bowing before the God of Abraham and the Ark of the Covenant of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then the Philistines began to be stricken with tumors, and calamity broke out in their cities as long as this sinful people had the Ark of God's Covenant in their midst, seeking to slander and diminish the one true God. Their community was cast into chaos because the name of the Lord is powerful. Friends, so it is in our lives today. Our God is like no other God. Therefore, we are to honor the name of our God because his name is attached to his presence and his promise in the lives of his people. God will be with us is the promise that Jesus gave to us to the very end of the age. God's name is assigned to us, and we are carriers of his name and his presence as we live in this cursed creation. His name should not be common. His name should not be put aside or put beside any other God. His name should not be slandered out of our mouths. Just think of the blasphemy in the comedy and stand-up comedy in the movies that we watch as God's name is slander. His name should be a name that fundamentally defines our reality. His name should represent who we are as a people of God, and our lives should represent his name before a sinful world. Jesus Christ rose from the dead in all power, friends, as the world sought to diminish his name, to shut his mouth, to silence the word about him. Jesus rose from the dead, and the proclamation of his name went from nation to nation and circled the world, because the first followers of Christ reverenced his name. His name defines who we are. So when Christ rose from the dead with all power, conquering death, sin, and Satan, Jesus demonstrates the power of his name. The scripture teaches us that Jesus will come again to judge the world with all power. Therefore, we as his people are to reverence the name of our righteous Savior and judge in word and deed, in the way that we speak and in the deeds of our lives, most importantly, in how we treat other image bearers. Could it be, friends, that the multiplicity of calamity that we see surrounding us in our world today is connected to the power of God's judgment being poured out on a world that slanders his name in word and in deed every day? God's people are to seek refuge in this life and in the life to come in the powerful name of Jesus. But we can't seek refuge in that name if we are taking that name in vain ourselves. This is why the wisdom writer in Proverbs 18 to 10 says, "The name of the Lord for his people is a strong tower that the righteous run into and are saved." Is there anybody in the building who has found salvation and refuge and rescue in the name of Jesus? God's name, and I'm out of your way, is to be honored. And God's name is not to be slandered in the life of the believer in word or in deed. The Westminster Larger Catechism, question 112, teaches us the diversity and the depth in which we can understand the commandment, this commandment, as we honor the name of the Lord God, because it is pure, it is precious, and it is powerful. Question 112 says, "What is required in the third commandment?" And it answers, "The third commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, attributes, ordinances, the words, sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, his works, and whatsoever else there is whereby he makes himself known, be holily and reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing, by a holy profession and an answerable conversation to the glory of God and the good of ourselves and others." Friends, we are to honor the name of the Lord in all of our lives. Jesus, the pure, precious, and powerful Savior of the world, died on the cross in order to reconnect lost humanity back to God and back to life as it is to be lived in this world and the world to come. The life he lived was perfectly pure, obeying the Lord's commands. The death he died in our place was precious because he was our substitute and our Savior from sin. His resurrection from the dead was powerful because Jesus conquered death, which separated us from God and reconnected us back to eternal life with our Creator. Therefore, God gave him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And this is the name that we are to honor with all of our being. Therefore, we must not slander the name of the Lord in word or deed, but we must honor him with all our might, all our mind, and all our strength. How is God calling you to lift his name higher in your life, that someone might know the rescue and the refuge that you have found in him? I challenge you today to honor the name of the Lord. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that your name is our refuge and our rescue, a very present help in the time of trouble. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand your word and how you call us to live in light of the salvation that you give in Jesus Christ. Forgive us, for we have all fallen short. We have all slandered your name in word or deed. And so we know that we stand before you forgiven because of him. But we ask you to strengthen us that we might live for him, Lord God, honoring him in the way that we live our lives, by counting him as pure, precious, and powerful, and seeking to be holy as our God is holy. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.